This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and it is a hot day, actually, to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And
it's not as hot as it could be tomorrow. It's going to be a little warmer. Yeah.
And rising, so take care of yourselves, folks. Hey, welcome to Newsmakers. This is the place for local ideas and initiatives and institutions and individuals to be talked about. If you'd like to join in the conversation anytime, you can always call us at 503-393-1430. Today we have with us, it is Tuesday, and we have the good fortune of having Mayor Chuck Bennett back in the studio with us to talk about things having to do with the city of Salem. And if you have a question for the mayor, email him or something, right?
No, give us a call. Call us.
Give
call
us a call.
Right now. Do it on the air.
393-1430. We'll put
it.
Yeah, we'll put him
call
on
me at home.
Here's his home number.
Here's his number.
Here's his address. He likes to get texts at 3 a.m.
He likes that.
Yeah.
He said he likes to even come in here and see us every week. I
do enjoy it.
Yeah.
It gets
Thank
me
you.
Out, gets me out of town for a couple of minutes. And
there you go.
A couple of minutes?
All the way to Kaiser.
Oh, nice.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Of course, the studio's in Kaiser, but we do broadcast throughout the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Yeah, of
and
course.
We focus
sorry,
on
yes.
Salem and Kaiser.
Oh, no, you do focus.
Polk County. There's a story coming out of Dallas High School we'll be talking about later in the hour. So
really?
Try
okay.
to hit it all.
Wow.
All right.
Excellent.
Hey, thanks for being here. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were talking just before the show, actually, and I said I feel like out of the loop because I know this project has moved forward, but then I hear whispers that it has to go through a process. So let's talk a little bit about downtown Salem and the old parking garage that got demolished.
Yeah.
And is soon to be resurrected into a new hotel. Where is
that?
Yeah. And where is that in the process? I know that it is in the historic downtown district. Not
yeah.
all of downtown, by the way, folks, is in the historic district, but this property
I hope
was.
Not.
That property was. In fact, the old garage was a historic structure.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you why that happened, but it looked like an old garage. I think that
uh-huh.
was probably it.
It's historic concrete.
That was it, and yeah. it was historic concrete. It was concrete that was as thick as anyone had seen rebar.
Yeah, some of the oldest rebar in the county.
Ever. Apparently unusual. Actually, collectible rebar coming out of there. I'd heard they were going to put up a little museum of rebar as a result of that thing. Finally got it down. They
with a Model T
site.
Parked on it?
Yeah. They've got it cleared. The site's ready, and I believe they'll begin construction, I'm told, at this point next year.
Okay. Now it takes a full year from now.
That's
so,
at least that. They've got...
is that because of the environmental stuff they got to
no,
check the ground?
No, I think it's just where they are in their process of building a six-story hotel with a rent with a restaurant on top. I mean, it's a very complicated project, but I checked on it yesterday, and I was told... at least a year from now, they're projecting they'll begin the work. So
is there a process to have to go through the historic review? Because I was told that even though it's brand new, they have to get approval through the historic review committee or whatever.
I think they're consulting with the historic landmarks director we've got in the city. We've made a grant to the company building the hotel to help them meet some of the there are some themes that they'll be looking at. It's not really that it'll look like the Ladin Bush building or
right.
something like that, but there are some themes there, and I can't tell you what they are, but there are some architectural ideas that are common across the historic district. So there may be some cost. I believe the city's covered that. There's no chance they're not going to get to go ahead or that they're going to go through some sort of onerous process. That's very clear.
And it's not that's holding them up.
No.
Okay.
And I can't really tell you what it is. It's just they have told our staff what their plans are.
So six stories.
That's the story I'm getting.
Restaurant on top.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tall. It's going to be pretty neat.
One of the tallest buildings downtown, right?
Yeah.
How tall is the Capitol Center? Is that 8 or so?
The Capitol.
They don't call it that anymore. The Capitol
20-story or whatever it is.
The
tallest building in town besides the
our
church
skyscraper.
Yeah, our skyscraper.
Well, that's very exciting. And actually, that'll be nice to go on the tax rolls as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a big boon in terms of going on. Is that in the, but that's in the Opportunity Zone. But that does not affect, right?
Yeah.
Right, Trump, out of Trump's tax bill and the Congress's tax bill. We'll call it Trump's tax bill, but it's an opportunity zone, so there are advantages for long-term and capital gains tax.
Yeah, it's
tax
if when you sell the building, you get a real break on your capital gains.
But it's not. Doesn't have anything to do with waiving the property taxes that will go into the city and the county and the school district. So that kind of redevelopment is a way to increase the tax base. So,
yeah, in fact,
very exciting about that.
Yeah, it is very exciting. This year, so far, until June, which is sort of so far this year that we have reported to us, we've seen valuation added in the city of just over $210 million just in that short period. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of valuation being added. Yeah, that's 630 permits that have been let. So there's a great deal of construction and value increase going on in the community right now.
Does anybody fear that there's a little bit of a construction bubble like we had in the late 2000s? Or is this, are we still not even, I know in housing, we're not even close to what they were building in 2007.
No.
2008, leading into the recession, as far as the permits built. But a lot of these things, that number, the 200 million, that's some housing, right? Some new construction, but also remodels, and they get reevaluated for tax purposes,
right.
And then redevelopment like this one downtown.
Well, to give you a feeling for it, during the same period last year, we let 590 permits with a valuation of $94 million. So it's double the valuation this year with just about the same number of permits being let. So it's some very valuable construction going on.
Wow.
It's good.
That is some good stuff.
Yeah.
Talk, if you don't mind, we got a couple minutes. As long as we're talking about downtown, the corner at Liberty there and Chemeketa, it looked like Mountain West Construction Development might do something there. Is that kind of stalled, and what can we expect to happen, and what timeline?
Well, at this time, I think it is stalled. I think that there have been a number of groups that have looked at that, generally for mixed-use housing kind of construction there. So far, it just hasn't gelled yet. There's little doubt that it is going to gel. There is so much interest in our downtown. We will see something come together. I believe Mountain West took a look. I don't think they've decided to move forward. I'm not, generally, I don't know what isn't happening. I know what is happening. And on that one, I'm told that it's going to be a little longer period of time. We're also beginning to see some real interest and discussion about Liberty Plaza across the mm-hmm. street, mm-hmm. Seeing it redeveloped or sold and purchased for redevelopment, that there's some real interest in seeing that building being
really
upscaled.
I think it's a really nice building, and it seemed to be underutilized for so long.
Yeah.
Underleased and underutilized. And they had trouble getting the pedestrian traffic, I think, that mm-hmm. was that existed maybe across the street at JCPenney, but then didn't come across the street.
Yeah, and so we're working with them. I know our staff is looking at that building and talking with a number of folks about it as well.
It's a great location. It's connected to the parking garage.
I know.
I mean, you can go from free parking in the parking garage and cross the little walking sky bridge and into the building on the second floor, go to restaurant, go to the Thai restaurant. You've got the escalator in there. It's a beautiful constructed building. So there's so many things.
You make it all the way down to Macy's.
Yeah.
Have to run through the...
How many different businesses have been there?
But Macy's, I mean, you've got with the sky bridges, which I still think are one of those kind of hallmarks of downtown Salem, are the sky bridges really well connecting. And that building certainly is on that circuit. But you're right. It just never quite made it. So we'll... I know we're taking a look at it with some folks.
We are talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We're going to come back. We're going to take a little break and come back about some more visioning of Salem, its growth, downtown, and my particular question coming up having to do with it being a river city. And what are we going to do along the river? This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and in the studio we have Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We were talking about downtown and some redevelopment. The number of permits that got taken out for how much dollars, right? How many dollars? How much dollars? That's good English. How many dollars?
And your wife's a teacher.
That is a... I'm also the son of an English teacher. So
wow. Oh, that's even more embarrassing, okay.
Yeah,
Brent.
This just gets better. Yeah, you're talking, pal.
Everybody's allowed a slip of the tongue. Hey, if Joe Biden can have a slip of the tongue,
and
I can have a slip of the tongue, if at least I know what state I'm in, right?
No, you do.
So, delusional state.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, we're talking about the one property, of course, that's going to be the six-story hotel with a restaurant on top. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a year before they get through their own processes and planning to break ground, so a couple of years before we see that opening. The other big project, we always call it the McMahon site, and people who haven't been in Salem that long don't even get the analogy, but it used to be McMahon's furniture, and it burned. It burned to the ground. They tore it down, and ever since then, it's McMahon's site, and it's going to be apartments.
I found another reference is the Les Newman site. Also.
The Les Newman site goes back even further, right?
Yeah.
So those are still slated to become... micro apartments?
Yeah, real efficient housing, kind of studio housing. 140 units about.
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah. And the timeline for that?
I think they're breaking ground in February, if I recall correctly. Huh? That's the latest month that I've received. So it's heading toward it. I think this is one that is looking forward to the next legislative session. It will offer housing that I think part of its market that has been identified, as I understand it. It's not my project, obviously, or the city's project, but my understanding is they're looking closely at lobbyists, legislative staff, legislators, people who don't need large housing, major housing in the community. They need more of almost a sleeping room, and these will be studios. I was talking with a fellow who has a place in Detroit, and he's talking about, and he works downtown. He was looking at one of those apartments as one that might be useful for him, where he can park at his regular business office, stay in town, and walk to work, and how efficient that's going to be, how interested he was in that kind of an apartment.
And I bet there's going to be interest from Willamette University, right? And the hospital.
Now, if I had that kind of job, yes, I would be interested in that if I wasn't married and I had that kind of job where you could live downtown in a studio.
It's perfect.
I think we all started in a studio, didn't we?
Yes.
Amazon, a lot of these apartments get rented up.
Studio.
And then
big closet.
As they have visiting professors or doctors or executives, anybody on business, they can put them up if they're going to be here on assignment for a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Just speaking of that, kind of a sidelight, I was at the dedication or the kind of opening dedication welcoming of Claremont School of Theology at Willamette University last week. We now have a major theological college here in town that's now associated with Willamette University, which will be adding more students to Willamette.
Wow. Is that affiliated with the Methodist Church?
I think...
you would think.
Much like Willamette's associated with the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
You
Yeah, interesting. And in case you are not a long timer here in Salem, Willamette University claims to be the oldest institution of higher learning west of the Mississippi.
It is, and not it claims. For those of us Bearcats out there,
yeah,
it and, is. I understand some folks didn't go there.
The Oregon Institution. anyway, so
had
but
to
it
leave
started
town
with
to go to school. I don't
started
know.
With Methodist roots. All right, let's move right along.
Okay.
Are we thinking? Here's I'm going to completely change the subject.
Okay.
Are we thinking large enough? I look at Salem as a river city, and
yeah.
we've got this bend in the river, and we've got north downtown along the river. We've got cannery districts. We've got some old industrial sites, and then as you go further north, you're getting to Kaiser, and there's some properties and houses
right.
along the river, and they're
oh,
very
yeah.
nice. They have yeah. their own docks and so forth, and but we don't really have a lot of recreation on the river. We really don't have, we just don't. And are we thinking big enough? I mean, is this akin to riverfront park, riverfront living that you see in other cities? And we've all been to cities where they have revitalized everything about the city by developing downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, along the river, whole stretches along the river, and it was a mix of restaurants and maybe cultural attractions and housing and recreation and things like that. Is Salem ever going to get to that?
Well, I think Salem's on its way down that route to some extent. Certainly housing along the river has really, we have the Meridian, we have South Block,
mm-hmm.
Paul Gaylor's apartments opened, T.J. Sullivan's
Parkfront building. Mm-hmm.
There's a number of buildings going on down there. Then you move along and you hit an older district. But if you'll recall, that district has some real severe limitations that just make it very, very difficult. And the big one is the railroad tracks running along Front Street. Right. And getting the ability to develop on the riverside of that has been traditionally for industrial uses, mainly canneries. And I think there'll be some changes in that as time passes. There's been a lot of ideas floated about different kinds of development there. What we're seeing now are new generations of manufacturing moving into the old canneries. That's what's happening. And those canneries are in actually very, very good shape, the buildings. I mean, the bones of the industry are still really there, and there's real interest in using those again in manufacturing. They tend to go quickly that way as an existing building. So I think ultimately we'll see increasing development along that strip up to, I think, probably Pine Street. Then from Pine Street north to Kaiser city limits, you again transition into offices and housing and that take advantage of the river. Tryon and some of those streets mm-hmm. down along there have really lovely riverfront homes at that part of the downtown. So we're seeing again uses. We have really kept our recreation in parks, and mm-hmm. we've got three different, substantially different parks. Minto Brown is a nature park, kind of a get out into the countryside right away from downtown. Riverfront Park's a traditional riverfront event park.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Wallace Marine, which has really been our activity park with soccer and ball fields, and also the beach and boat ramp for people who want to get into the river and use it for those kinds of water sport recreation. So I think the mix is there. The intensity is a little different right now. Part of it is, I kind of be honest with you, I think we're in such a rich recreation area that you got so many choices. And if you take a look at Highway 22 on a weekend in either direction, it almost looks like the city is emptying out as people head for the ocean and the mountains, or Central Oregon, or just up the canyon mm-hmm. to go rafting. I mean, So I think it's a little different than like a big urban area like Portland, where your choices are a little bit different.
What about the property that's along the Edgewater District, between Edgewater and the river? Is that completely out of the question because of flood concerns?
I think.
And or zoning.
Well, flood concerns are tremendous there. In fact, Highway 22, it's really kind of like a big berm when you really look at how that channels the river. And a big chunk of that, I believe, is privately owned and being mined for gravel and other uses down in there. I think the only thing I can think of down in that part across from Edgewater is probably the yacht club is down in there.
We have a yacht club.
We do have a yacht club.
Wow.
You were not invited.
I am not in the right social circles.
Yeah. There is always an opening for a Commodore down there.
Yeah,
I suspect
right.
If you contact them.
Okay. All right. This is Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. We're talking about Salem and its potential in going into the future. We do have a lot of the riverfront kind of earmarked because, like you said, on the south side, you have Minto Brown as it makes the turn. And on the east side, you have the Riverfront Park. And on the north side, you have the Edgewater District, which is difficult to develop in. And as it makes the curve, you're right there in another park.
You really have to, when you think about South River Road, too, it really kind of defines what kind of development can occur out for several miles, really out to Homestead Road. Then beyond Homestead Road, you've got, again, housing. It's outside the city limits, but you see housing all along the slough heading toward the Independence Bridge. So there is really mixed development. The thing we are still missing, I had it pointed out to me at a group I spoke to yesterday, we are still missing downtown is that grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I always think whenever I have a chance to talk about downtown, I really have an obligation to say anyone interested in putting up a grocery store, just give me a call. There's tremendous interest in the community, whether the margins are right, the parking is right, all the rest of it is something a much brighter fellow than I who knows the business could take a look.
Maybe
at.
Roth's would be interested
I
in
think
one
he's
that,
looked.
Without a parking lot. Because you have a lot of carry.
Well, we
nearby.
May see with these new developments, mm-hmm. with more housing, more people living downtown. Maybe there comes a point where there is enough activity. But I my impression of the Roth company is they've got a lot of stores. They're very busy doing what mm-hmm. they're doing. I'm not sure they have.
And
thought about a different kind of market.
Maybe it's especially. I know that 10 years ago when we were talking about the Chemeketa and Liberty Street, which is now a hole in the ground, the former Wells Fargo building. But 10 years ago when this was looked at, mm-hmm. the plans were on the ground floor, on the street floor, were a Zupans-type urban market.
Right? I remember that.
Something that was a niche.
Yeah.
And
right.
they would do... actually, they're going to do the whole half block, but housing above that.
And they had a parking garage. They had the whole shebang.
Garage under the ground, mm-hmm. a couple of floor of parking, I think, above the grocery.
You know who'd do good is Trader Joe's, maybe.
No? You know how hard it was to get Trader
Joe's. Sorry.
Doing well.
They're doing pretty well out south. I'm not sure we could talk them into it, but yeah, that'd be the
you
kind
never know.
Of store, though.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
Well, going back
Target
to
has a grocery store.
Oh, that's true too.
Facility
yeah.
as
there
well.
There you go.
Going back to the river, one thing the city has done this year that never before happened, they issued, that I'm aware of, they issued a concession permit for someone to rent kayaks and other water toys at Wallace Marine Park.
I think this is our second year of it.
Second year, and we took advantage of that a few weeks ago. We're talking about it a little bit, but it was so easy. It was like, folks, I handed my card, and it's like, we would love to spotlight you on Newsmakers and come on in.
Fantastic.
But, city entrepreneur, owner actually works for the City of Salem.
Nice.
And we paid him $25 a head, I think. My wife made the arrangements. And
that's pretty good.
Plenty of parking there at Wallace Marine.
Oh, yeah.
Got in the kayaks. We floated down to Kaiser Rapids Park. Spectacular day. Takes maybe an hour. They pick you up. They drive you back, and you're done.
Wow.
That is really good to hear. Herons out there. Because I had somebody asking me about it yesterday, about why don't you have kayaks here? I said, I think we do over at Wallace Marine. That's at least my recollection. And paddleboards.
Yeah, they've got paddleboards and
I hope whoever that was, I can't say who it was off the top of my head, is listening because you can get
Get on the water.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
It's great.
And they also do Independence to Salem, and that's a little bit longer, I think, closer. No, it's 2 hours plus, I think. And they also.
That would be fun.
You can launch at Buena Vista and then float to Independence. So there's three stretches you could do, and they all have a little bit different duration.
Oh, that's great.
Float. Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, we got to take a break. We're running a little bit long. We're talking to Chuck Bennett. And this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Salem's Local Talk on 1430 KYKN.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. You're listening to Newsmakers. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett here in the studio with us. We're talking about housing issues, river opportunities, all sorts of things having to do with the planning and the growth and the future for the city of Salem and its surrounds. One of the things about development is that you develop the easy land first, right? Because it's less expensive to develop in flatland than it is in hills. Right. So especially in housing. And that's why we're seeing as Salem grows and grows into its urban growth boundary that the development is occurring on areas where it didn't pencil out before. Yeah. But now we're having to go into the hills. And like I said, it's more challenging to engineer. It's more expensive to construct and so forth. And the same is going to be true with along the river. And as you have infill, you have to have a certain amount of density, for one, to make it pencil out. Yeah. And you have to have a certain level of economic activity and cost that supports the land investment as it gets more and more rare. We were talking a little bit earlier, Mayor, about if you're going downtown, you pass the railroad bridge and you're going north, and then you have, of course, the cannery area, the Truett Brothers area and things like that. If that's still zoned for office slash industrial and commercial, or is any of that zoned for mixed use now? Is there an overlay zone or of any sort?
I apologize. I can't remember specifically what the zoning is. I do know that businesses siting in there are generally manufacturing businesses at this point. There's quite a bit of activity going on in there. I don't believe there's any housing, so I'm not aware that it is zoned for mixed use. I think it retains its light industrial. I don't think it's been rezoned for office. It may have some spot zoning for offices, but primarily it's being repurposed for different kinds of manufacturing.
It's interesting.
One of the interesting ones is it's being used for housing manufacturing in a couple of larger cases where companies that make I reluctantly call them tiny houses because that's not, I think people have a vision in their minds of what it is, but they're really efficiently pre-built homes that are not mobile homes. They're a different category that are being manufactured and moved out of there.
Really?
So, well, you missed out on the Tiny Home Fest then, because that was a couple weeks ago.
Were they there? Yeah.
Yeah, we had the lady on the air here.
I did miss it. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah, Tiny Homes.
I want to mention, too, in addition to what you were saying, Brent, because I think you're outlining a really important event underway in Salem. About 40 years ago, the city of Salem developed its comprehensive plan. It was its first and only comprehensive plan. And it is now being updated for the first time in 40 years, just a full relook at Salem and its development. Where is it going? And it has to do with where will housing be? Where will commercial be? Where will, you know, and how do we build off what we have and improve it? And you hit exactly on what was planned here in Salem, which was get folks away from farmland. We are not going to expand into farmland. That was really the goal of Oregon's land use system, particularly in the valley, and aimed housing development in the West Salem Hills and South Salem Hills. Mm-hmm. And in looking at what's going on from that period forward, that's where the really intense housing construction has gone on, is in that south and west area. Unfortunately, at the same time, we didn't take care of the transportation system with the kind of foresight that we did in terms of planning where housing would be. So we've got housing and one, really a single bridge system of two one-way bridges, and really a fairly simple system that tends to bottleneck from South Salem into or through to North Salem when you look at the couple of corridors that are available. So we're taking a whole new look at the city. I think people really, really owe it to themselves for the future of the community, of their neighborhoods, to take a look at this planning process. It's called Our Salem. The city's website has more information than you could possibly want on it, but the ones you want are the ones where you can come talk about your view of what Salem will look like. We are going to see 60,000 people coming to Salem in the next 25 to 30 years. It is going to be a substantially more dense city than we are now. We're already, the state has passed a law that says we are to essentially give up on single family residential zoning and allow duplexes, triplexes, and quads at least into those zones. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that kind of stuff coming in front of the council now.
And hopefully people will start living closer to where they work.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to.
You get this critical mass in this downtown. Maybe we avoid, or the people that will attract people that want to live downtown or near it, who are already working there.
Yeah.
Instead of going up the corridors, instead of going to Portland and getting out in Auburn.
Or out,
and so
out to Staten or Dallas. By the way, we're also kicking off, or not the city, but the Chariots are kicking off Saturday an evening bus service on September 7th at 10 a.m. down at the Transit Mall downtown.
That is very exciting.
Yeah,
it is exciting.
It is good.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign. It's been a long, long time. I realized I got a call from a reporter saying he'd looked back into the old clipping files, discovered a story I wrote about Peter Corton when I was a newspaper reporter here covering City Hall about 40 years ago, about Peter Courtney setting up Saturday bus service.
Wow.
I mean, that, just in case you wonder if the same people are still around. Yeah, at least Courtney and I are still around.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Wow, that's one for the record books there. Hey, will the city of Salem's infrastructure be able to handle 60 more thousand people in the city?
There's going to be a debate.
There is a debate.
Well, they can't right now. I think we're not doing real well with what we've got. It's okay, but not fabulous.
Because if the street infrastructure is suffering now, and you guys have this deficit problem.
Yeah. But understand, a lot of this is happening in the context of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And that means fewer people driving a single car, you know, a one person in a car being the mode of travel. It means more people will ride buses, will walk, will ride their bike, will use a scooter. I mean, whatever the alternative is.
Yeah, but nobody's going to want to do that if the streets are falling apart.
No. Well, there's a lot of that going on. There's going to be a debate over this.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it up at a recent meeting. Is I saw bike lanes, I saw sidewalks, I saw all kinds of discussion of everything except streets.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was told is, well, gosh, Mayor, that's just understood. Well,
No,
I'm
not
sure that's just understood. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing I really encourage people to kind of take a look at this and see if they have something they'd like to add to the discussion. Because if they're not talking, trust me, someone else is talking for them.
Right. Well, I was also, when I was talking infrastructure, though, I'm talking water, sewer, electricity for 60,000 more people.
It's all part of the planning process that's going on right now, and it is a tremendous challenge.
Sure.
It is going to be. We are not changing the size of the city. We're just changing the population of the city. So it's going to get pretty intense.
Huh.
It's going to be a real exciting place to live.
Well, there's more things to talk about. We do need to let the mayor go. But we'll invite him back.
Oh,
so maybe not next week on the holiday week.
Come back sometime. Yeah.
And there's more things I'd like to explore.
I just said nothing but I've found a good news.
I got to get into myself into some of the Our Salem, because I would like to see a city back of my folks in the river where it's more often than not, if you're downtown or if you're on the bridge, you are seeing kayakers in the water.
Yeah.
And you're seeing canoes in the water. You're seeing dragon boats in the water. Maybe
sailboats.
Something. all the way up the slough. We should plan to kind of reclaim that from either overgrowth of some vegetation and whatever industrial past it has, and reclaim it so it's attractive and that every day that there's people kayaking and canoeing it, maybe even fishing it. So there's so much we can do.
That's the kind of vision we need.
There you go.
Yep.
Brent the Hart's got it. All right. Hey, thank you, Mayor Chuck Bennett, City of Salem. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
As usual, Dave, when the mayor leaves, there's so many things to unpack, and we don't have time to even unpack them all, right? So many things to think about. And, you know, I think he's doing a great job, and hopefully he sees the groundwork that is being laid while he's leading the community and this and that. And I talk about some of these things in the future as far as the river city and the riverfront, and they may not happen while I'm around, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't plan for it. We don't have a vision of what an amazing thing that the Salem and the Willamette River could be.
Well, wasn't the river area of Riverfront Park really a bustling area before? No,
it was very industrial for a long time until the industry went away, and then it was a wasteland. When I moved to Salem, approximately 1990, it was gravel and a shuttered paper mill plant. So maybe parts of it were still active there, but the paper mill plant and gravel and railroad tracks, there's nothing. So, there's been a lot of amazing
things. I didn't have
that
vision of the Riverfront Park. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, Riverfront Park is a great asset and continues to get better with the addition of the bridge and the new amphitheater that's going in and so on and so forth. So, highest and best use is the phrase they use in land use and real estate. Highest and best use. Is it being used in its highest and best use along the river? And is industry and industrial the highest and best use in an era in which we no longer need to use the river to transport the goods?
True.
Right? We're no longer using the everything had to be along the river because you barged it down the river and got it to the Columbia and so forth. So highest and best use along the river should be a discussion as we go into the future. A couple of things I want to make sure we don't fail to mention. Thursday, for the first time on Newsmakers, Superintendent Christy Perry will be on the show.
Woohoo!
So if put it on your calendars, folks, or listen to the podcast afterwards, it'll be really great to have the superintendent of Salem-Keizer Public Schools, Christy Perry. She'll be on Thursday. No chance of getting through everything I want to talk about having to do with education with the superintendent, but we're looking forward to that. That'll be Thursday at noon here on Newsmakers. And a congratulations is in order. Caleb Kiner, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He is who's in the news in the Polk County Observer, I think the paper is called. He's a junior, incoming junior at Dallas High School.
Okay.
At high school. And he was selected to play on the development team for play soccer for the development team for the Timbers.
Wow.
The T2 team.
Must be some talent there.
Yeah, he went to a camp and a development thing, and they said, by the way, why don't you start working out with the T2 team? And then he was selected for this. And now because he is that, he can no longer compete as a high school player. But I think he's got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a just a few.
If you have an opportunity to read the article, or if you know them, tell them that KYKN is congratulating them. And that's a lot of hard work. One, you got to have extraordinary talent.
True.
Right? Two, I know a lot of people with a lot of talent that did not accomplish. And that means that Caleb put in a lot of work. So that's very cool.
That is very cool.
Very, especially since I read the article and they interviewed him, and the family just seems like, well, I like a lot of things, but I love soccer more than anything.
Yeah.
That was his passion. And junior in high school, and he's getting inroads with professional soccer.
Gotta love
it. Right out there in Dallas. Pretty awesome. The other article that bemused me this weekend was an article about a Salem psychic.
What?
And she's a medium as well, Sarah Lemos. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And she's involved in a national television show in terms of her abilities, shall we say, in being a medium. And anyway, I thought that was great. She has her own business here.
Yeah.
She has her own business here in Salem in case you need a psychic reading or you need to contact someone who has passed on.
Huh.
Anyway, it's an interesting article. Check it out. It's not your standard fare. And I dare say I don't know a lot of those companies that exist in the city of Salem or the surrounds. So
That
was pretty fun. I also wanted to mention, Dave Bourne, I didn't see you there, but I went to Tiny Fest.
Yeah, I didn't make that one.
I have some pictures for you.
Okay.
So
I can't wait to see
them. My overriding experience, the feeling I left with was, well, I could see how that's fine for some people.
Right? For some people. I mean, like I told you before, it'd be great for camping.
It's quite
called glamping for me.
Mainstream. There were people there that have, you know, done the bus thing, and they converted the bus. One had like four kids. And they live in this bus. And they let people walk in and out and how they organized it and this and that. And then I was there mainly for looking for contractors and who do accessory dwelling units. Smaller units, right? Mother-in-law quarters, accessory dwelling units. And so it was interesting. It seemed a little bit counterculture.
Yeah.
You know, a little hippie-ish, I got to tell you.
That's kind of where it started, I think.
And I was a little surprised that the vibe was that strong in that direction. There were a lot of tie-dye, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. And craft.
It's not for everyone.
Natural crafts.
Not for everyone.
No. Anyway, Tiny Fest was interesting, though, and I could see it coming back and coming back stronger.
Oh, so. Just want to toss in before we get to the end of the show. The Oregon State Fair is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there tomorrow and Thursday on remote before the show from 10 to noon at the Oregon State Fair. So,
all right, go out.
But it opens, I think, at 11.
Make sure you bring your fan tomorrow. It's going to be a little warm.
It is going to be a little warm tomorrow.
Yeah. So Dave Bourne out at the Oregon State Fair. If you're out there, come over and make faces at him and see if you can make him laugh while he is
on the air. Yeah.
And tomorrow, of course, you'll have Wednesdays with Denise, and Thursdays we're going to have Christy Perry, and maybe Friday we can unpack some more of these things we talked about. Next time we see the mayor, we're going to talk about the Housing Authority.
Ooh,
that'll be a good one.
Got to do that.
Thanks for joining us, folks. It's a spectacular day. Go out and enjoy it. I am Brent DeHart. I'm talking with Dave Bourne. You've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.